the Around the NFL Podcast.
60% G, 40% gay.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. And that's true, but we have to do the math on that, and I am not a mathematician, as everyone knows. But we got to get to the bottom of that. Dan Hans is here, joined in a real outdoor setting filled with heroes. How about that? Mark Sessler, Greg Rosenthal, and a very special appearance. Now they're very special because she's so famous and popular, and the terms of her talent contract deems that she only can work about 5 days during spring and summer.
And they must be from a bar.
Colleen Wolf. Hey! What's up, everybody?
What a day. Thanks for coming to my club.
All right.
Set the scene for us, Dan.
All right. So here we are. We are in West Hollywood, California, at Rocco's WeHo. This is the heart. The heart. Of how would you put it, Ricky? How would you put this?
We are in the center of Boys Town, which is West Hollywood. We are actually right next to a rainbow flag crosswalk. And June is Pride Month, so we're excited to be debuting our Pride episode of Around the NFL in person. And we also have another special guest.
Ow! Oh, we do. We have a lot of people here, by the way. We have a bit of a celebration here for our road show. And very excited, Colleen's dad, Ed Wolf, is here. He's at a neighboring table right now talking.
His nickname is Frenchie.
Frenchie Wolf.
He won't tell me why.
The Pride episode was coming up just a few days ago. He's like, get me on a plane. I'm going to
fly
myself
Wolf.
Out here.
Exactly.
Gonzo and Connie's friend, Miles, his dad's here. So they're at one table and then sitting in as well on the show. But really sitting in just to hang out with us. In fact, she didn't even know the Around the NFL podcast was taping until about 14 minutes ago.
She thought it was the broadcast.
She thought it was the broadcast, which is a vanity project for Erica. Lakeisha Jackson-Wessling. Lakeisha's here. So this is so nice. I mean, it's so great to be here in this part of the city, right in the middle, in the heart of Pride Month. Erica, our wonderful producer.
The NFL's resident lesbian.
But also our friend, and we thought it'd be a nice thing. And this is really Ricky's brainchild to go on location. This is the first time we've been together doing a show since, like, when?
Many moons. I mean, I would say you have to go back to the Combine before
2020 Combine.
Pandemic, potentially. I mean, a show of this magnitude.
Right. I think there might have been a Thursday Night Football recap we did from a socially distanced in a garage maybe late last year. But this is the first time we're all together doing a show. And I know, Mark, you and I are on opposite ends of this. I'm so ready to get back together in a workplace and do a podcast together because it's just more human, the connection. And I know there's the case for the other way, but... Well, come on, this is
hold
nice,
on,
Mark.
Hold on.
This
like,
is nice.
We're
all
another,
feels
this is
like
another
a fluid situation.
I mean, I'm sitting here. We're looking up at the Hollywood Hills. It's about 75 degrees. We are surrounded by a flock of like 8, 9s, and 10s just sort of roaming about. I am totally happy here. This is not what I'm talking about. This is
they're
different
all men
than being
that Mark
stuffed
was,
into
pointing out
a cubicle somewhere. No, but I am on an investigation about the other 20%. We know who the one 20% is.
Right.
It's Erica. The other 20%, Greg, what do you have to say?
Well, just maybe a little bit of all of us. You know, everyone's a little good.
That's right. That's an ally.
There it is.
I actually think Mark seems totally at ease. Dan is the one. It's partly because he's the host and he's used to having things set up a certain way that seems a little more uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
But maybe it's the surroundings for
Dan. I would say it has nothing to do with where we are and why we're doing this episode, but just there's a lot of moving parts, and I'm also under a sun that is determined to burn me alive by
Dan's
the end
the
of today's show.
Dan's the only one baking in the sun right now. All the rest of us are like nicely shaded. It's great.
We're couched in wonderful shade. Dan claims because he's part Austrian that he's fine under the sun, but I'm starting to see a little perspiration, and our song is playing, Dan, right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, we don't have the copyright control over that, so don't pay attention to that.
Don't mind the music playing or the trucks, the dump trucks.
But the Reds are on behind us.
The Reds are on, so Chris Wessling is with us as he always Always is. And in fact, Connie, you saw something else right down the street here on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Oh, yeah. When we were walking up, there were all of these big green eggs for sale right out front at like the hardware store right next door. And they were just like out in front of us. And my dad was like, oh, I love green eggs. And I was like, oh, it's a sign.
So Lakeisha's here. Big green eggs are here. The reds are here.
Mm-hmm.
Wes is here.
He is.
With us, as he always is. And Mark, pop quiz. No, actually, sure. You know what? Because I didn't like the insinuation by Greg there. Greg, why is Pride Month in June?
I don't know.
Aha! You're uncomfortable.
What? Because of the Stonewall riots.
Okay.
1969.
Gotcha.
I'm not going to guess. That's not something you guess for. I thought that was going to be part of, like, Erica's time. Basically, Dan has set it up now. And now we're going to hand the show over to Erica for the next 35, 40 minutes, and she's going to explain what Pride means to her.
Yeah, exactly.
No, what, Ricky, now, and I want to say, in preparation for today's show, I went and reread that awesome article you wrote on NFL.com last year about your experiences as a gay woman in sports media and at the NFL, and it was just so well done, and really, I couldn't have more respect, Ricky, for what you do and how you expressed yourself in that article.
You.
And so this is a nice thing for us all to be together celebrating us all.
Well, it means a lot that you say that. Thank you. And, you know, you guys were the first people that I told even publicly back, you know, what, 3-4 years ago now? And
really?
There's been pride celebrations where you guys have been on these streets with me, and it means the world. And as I wrote in that article, I wouldn't have felt comfortable coming forward if it wasn't for you guys behind me.
Mm. Aww,
I lived in West Hollywood. I remember being at the Pride Parade around 2002. How about that?
Wow.
What are you trying to say,
Greg?
Greg's moment.
If we want to really boil
a nice,
down
like
to
she's
it,
tell, yeah. She's speaking to the audience and to us. Greg's like, but I was the one who was ahead of the curve.
Erica, I think we were on this very street together for Pride a couple years ago.
All right, so this is great. We're all so excited to be here together. But this is a football show, so it's time to talk some football. And before we get to fluid situations in the summer of love, let's hit the news. No matter gay, straight or bi, lesbian, transgender life, I'm on the right track, baby, I was born to survive. No matter black, white, or beige, tall or orient made, right track, baby, I was born to be brave. Oh, yeah, Gaga. Like Gaga, one of the best halftime shows.
Did you guys like it?
Incredible.
I loved it.
That halftime show is easily the best. Well, Beyonce.
She dropped from the ceiling.
I'm in the roof, I guess you would call it. So like that Beyonce.
You're in the Beyhive, so
yeah,
you struggled with the Gaga a little bit?
When I feel to be.
I liked how earnest and like hard on the sleeve Gaga was. Like it was very cheesy when she jumped off the roof, but it was also like she was just embracing it. She's like, I'm playing the Super Bowl.
She leaned in.
I'm leaning in. And that's why.
Respect it.
An authentic artist. That Lady Gaga. What's her real name? I was going to say her real name to like really punctuate
Jennifer,
it.
Maybe?
Ooh. Not Jennifer.
Gaga for Gaga.
Joanne. All right. Here we go.
Focus.
Erica, this
football
is a football podcast.
News. Uh-oh. We got football news coming in. Wah, wah.
By the way, nothing beats two ambulances stuck behind a garbage truck.
I'm dying.
That's not how that those
supposed
to work.
Excuse me, this football show isn't gay enough.
We need garbage trucks and ambulances racing to motocross events where major injuries went down between straight dudes. All right.
Will this show ever be posted is the question.
All right, here we go. Aaron Rodgers. He's officially a holdout over at Packers camp. And, you know, here at the Around the NFL podcast, we're not stressing out about it. Even though if you're a Packers fan, I get it if you are. There's no way he's going to be at this mini camp. We'll see what's going on later on this summer if he doesn't show up for training camp. Anyway, so the other wide receivers and all the other players there at camp, Devontae Adams, who Aaron Rodgers has helped turn into a superstar through his support behind the reigning NFL MVP, while being careful not to criticize the organization that he is feuding with. Let's listen to Devontae.
He knows where I stand. I'll stand on the I'll stand on the mountain and scream on the mountaintop, you know, that I got his back. And like going back to the, I forgot who asked the question about if it was awkward. It can never be awkward, because I think that any GM, any president, any owner, they should want type of guys that are, you know, backing their players, especially a player like that.
Connie, this is nice. This is how you have to play it, right? If you're a Packers player right now, right? You got to support the QB, because you know the QB is paying attention to everything, but you don't want to distance yourself or disenfranchise yourself from the organizations that's cutting your check.
It's a tough situation, I feel like, for everyone to be in, because you have, like, when Aaron Rodgers said back in, I don't even know, was that January, that his future is a beautiful mystery? Like, he was not playing at all. And, like, all of this has really escalated from one thing to another, like, talking trash about the culture of the franchise and the front office and everything. But I think that this game of chicken is bad for everybody involved, because you have, like, how is the team taking it if it's divided the fan base? Like, I'm sure that, I guess on one hand, maybe it's adding fuel to the fire for them to be like, oh, if they're hearing all the time, like, the Packers can't compete for the division or a playoff spot without Aaron Rodgers. They're all like, well, that's one dude. We're an entire team. So what's up? But also, it's like, you're putting this on the coaching staff. I'm sure they have opinions. Like, the team itself, the fans, like, everybody involved. There's so much collateral damage, I feel like, with what's going on. And it would behoove everyone to meet in the middle and come to an agreement. But I think we're kind of past that at this point. And I don't know when each side is going to cede.
But they don't know. I mean, Devontae Adams doesn't know. Aaron
right.
Rodgers doesn't know. They don't know how this is going to end. It's like when Connie was in her big contract dispute. Like, all the teammates, all of us just supported her. You're going to support your friend. You want them to get what they deserve. And Devontae Adams has to keep in mind, he's not far away from a contract negotiation to become one of the highest paid wide receivers in the league. And whether that's going to be with Green Bay or not, like, he might get that money a year sooner if it is from Green Bay. So it's very, very complicated.
I mean, I would say this. To call it a beautiful mystery, I don't know about beautiful. Slightly ponderous on some level. If you're a Packers fan, your hair is on fire.
It's a messy mystery.
This one note from Devontae said about Aaron Rodgers, he loves when you have his back. Now, he also said, I have his back, and of course he does.
Yeah.
But he
That's
loves when you have his
lines.
Back. Because Aaron Rodgers is a special kind of guy. And he also went out of his way to say, look, I believe that the front office would want me to have the back of another player on this team. Because to your point, yes, the contract for Devontae Adams is coming up. The thing is, it's not February. This isn't back in January when Russell Wilson was upset and you had the entire offseason, the entire width of the offseason to figure this out. We are weeks away from July. And we are very close to preseason football and training camp.
It's not camp, though. Training camp is the first time I think it matters even a little bit.
Does this feel like a camp showdown where Aaron Rodgers simply shows up to the first day of camp?
I was going to say, to bring it back to Connie, and Connie, I hope I'm not talking out of school here.
Is this all about me?
Connie?
Now, actually?
Erica, this is no longer your show. It's Colleen's show.
It's okay.
It's not. It's
when Colleen made her surge up the ladder here at NFL Media and became a superstar, and we're all so proud of her. You know what the NFL did? I said, we're going to take care of you in a different way than we used to. Maybe Aaron Rodgers, rip up the contract. Make things right. Get him on the field. Cut the bullshit.
I think it's really interesting that Jordan Love said that he talked to Aaron Rodgers a week before the mandatory minicamp started, and Devontae Adams said that he hasn't talked to him, correct? So I think that it's interesting that Aaron Rodgers has that line of communication open to Jordan Love in a way that maybe Aaron Rodgers didn't have with Brett Favre. Like, that at least is nice, I think. But I think that the organization is in such a tough spot, because what are your options at this point? Like, you have to try and build back that trust if he's going to stay. So, yeah, you maybe offer him a contract extension. Maybe you make some type of personnel moves to make him happy.
The options give him money or not.
Money talks.
They didn't want to.
They chose not
apparently
to
trade him in February.
Like, they're not going to release him after next season. I don't see that happening.
But it's give him more money, guaranteed or not. I don't. Here's what I don't care about is this. There was like this tweet from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, which is literally maybe the best newspaper in the country when it comes to football coverage. But the tweet was, "What does Jordan Love's big second day of mini camp mean in the big picture?"
Oh,
it was like, "How does this affect the big picture?" It doesn't. It doesn't affect it at all. None of that affects it. Like, I don't think how Jordan Love looks in mini camp or even training camp up until maybe the preseason matters even one bit.
Do you see though a scenario where like it's a nice neat idea that Aaron Rodgers will roll back into town like mid-August and save the day? Could this be more of like an Emmett Smith type holdout where we don't see Aaron Rodgers till week 3 or 4 because this gets so nasty money-wise?
That would be annoying because that's all anybody would want to talk about when actual football is being played. I hope it doesn't. I'm reading a book right now called I Want My MTV. It's an oral history of the launch of MTV and then through its golden period, 81 to 92. And MTV had a central guiding principle of none of the talent was bigger than MTV. MTV was the star. The talent was disposable.
It was like ESPN was like
And ESPN's similar to that. I hope the Packers don't think the Packers brand and the Packers are bigger than Aaron Rodgers, because that's not how it works. The quarterback, especially a once-in-a-generation star like Aaron Rodgers, you could play chicken with him to a certain extent, but I feel like there is a point where you take it too far.
There is a lesson maybe to be learned here for, like, you know, the ATN podcast to stop making it seem like you're bigger than NFL Network and NFL media. Like, it might be time to back off of
that.
Touché.
I mean, they made it pretty
crystal
clear
that we are
not.
She cooked
it up,
and now she fed it to us. All right. In other news. All right, Greg, this one's for you. Because you have been, you know, borderline, I don't know, man, libelous with Russell Wilson. And this idea that he somehow started his own self-promotion. Erica, it's incredibly distracting when you do
the
Rocco's fist pump.
My dad's also taking pictures. There's a lot of things you have to block out the noise.
Too much.
When you're doing this stuff.
But you said that Russell Wilson campaigned to be the MVP.
Yeah.
You cited a quote at some point.
He talked about it. He did these interviews. Everyone was talking about it. He was pumping himself up like, hey, I've always been top five quarterback. How about me as number one?
All right. So he said that once. You brought it up 400 times.
That's him.
Shaq Barrett, the star edge rusher for the Bucks, says even though he was arguably the best player on this defense during a Super Bowl championship run, even though he's just signed a 4-year, $72 million contract, he said,
I'm coming with a vengeance this year. Even though we won the Super Bowl, I'm still hungry. Like, I'm coming. I want to be individually, like, defensive player of the year. If they want to give me MVP, because my season that I have should be MVP level. Like, I'm coming, man. Like,
will you bury Shaq Barrett repeatedly in the same way you buried Russ Wilson?
Well, if he then turns, has a terrible second half of the season, and then immediately afterwards leaks to all his media friends that he wants to get traded so that everyone forgets about the terrible second half of the season and somehow blames it all on his teammates.
Mm.
Shaq Barrett, by the way, kind of struggled last year. People, you know, Mark was enjoying it for a little while until the very stretch run. He was like Tom Brady and kind of the rest of the Bucks. He kicked it up a notch down the last 5 weeks. He would have to be a lot better to be Defensive Player of the Year.
I mean, the endless string of narratives that don't actually like bear themselves in truth. I'm not rooting against Shaq Barrett. He had an electrifying campaign a couple years ago that I thought might have been a flash in the pan. He proved me wrong. I think I've said on the show roughly 5,000 to 6,000 times that I was wrong on that count. He's a very talented player. MVP, that feels – you're on a team with probably the guy who's going to be the MVP if he plays up to snuff and they go to the playoffs.
Speaking of which, Tom Brady, and, you know, I don't track his decline anymore. I don't have all this, like, complicated –
sure,
like,
you don't.
These nerve connections anymore because he's not on the Patriots. So now I just sit back and watch it. But isn't it, like, a little bit weird that he's 43, had knee surgery, and then was a full participant in the first mandatory minicamp practice? Like, at what point do we start questioning, Mark, and you're very much into the
if he's a human?
Like, is he human? Like, at what point do we start to ask that question?
I think just if you look back at, like, the 1640s, like in deep Europe, people were dying at, like, age 28. Like, there is just, we evolve. And I think that Tom Brady's found, like, a pathway to certain health that others did not, sports science-wise. Because now you have, like, other quarterbacks. Even, like, I saw Kirk Cousins saying, like, you know, oh, I'm changing my diet and do this, all this stuff. It's like, I wish I had done this, like, 8 years ago. It's like, excuse me. Like, the advertising was there for you and for plenty of athletes. But it's like, it comes down to your choices. Tom Brady's super weird. People kind of isolate him as someone like, I would never like not eat nightshades just because Tom Brady doesn't, but he's playing still and he's effective and he's winning Super Bowls. Maybe follow in his path if you're another quarterback.
I'm about to buy in on the TB12 method because the other methods that I have been using are not working. So I'm ready to go down that road. Try it out.
In other news, Connie, you're fine. You're fine. Don't get too crazy.
Thanks, Dan.
You know why? Because you have fun. You balance it. You have fun.
I have a yin and a yang.
Yes, you handle it all. If you go full TB12, you're going to start being like, well, I can't actually go out.
Right.
I'm not going to come over to the pool
party because I need
to do my, you know, this or that. Mark's on a juice cleanse right now.
Right. Part of the TB12 method is you remove any sense of humor from your body. Like you cannot
Greg will never in a thousand years attempt that diet because he must eat like, I must have like, like lines of pork going down through my intestines every day that I buy at like a deli.
Imagine enjoying eating food.
We're doing like lines imagine off that. The table of pork? Is that what you're saying?
I try to be a good friend. And with Mark right now, he's going through a juice cleanse, which he does every once in a while. So I try to give you a little space because I know me texting you like, do you want to go to the bar or whatever is not toward that goal. But I will say if I have to choose like what's the better version of Mark that I enjoy – non-juice cleanse Mark and juice cleanse Mark, it's pretty
easy.
There's no doubt, but I actually, you know, we are all going to be hanging out together, exclusively and in high quantities very soon.
So
and I'm preparing myself for that to give you that version.
We're going to be. Well, Mark didn't want to give too much information, but the way you explained it was insane. We're going to be hanging out exclusively in high quantity.
It made it sound like we're
like we're toilet paper rolls.
Well, we're going on a bit of a voyage together as a group, and I wanted to go in, you know, in game shape versus where I was 10 days ago, which was like someone left by the side of the highway.
You made it sound like we're all going into a, like a blood pact and like and leaving.
We're taking
the rest
a group
society,
vacation,
which is what
exactly.
I'm saying.
Another
but you
way
never
you
know,
could
Greg,
describe
blood
it.
Blood packs aren't that far away.
And,
from what we'd be
it's a little tough because the one thing we're in the heart of West Hollywood here, and this is a fun area. Ricky lives right around here. Everybody likes to get loose here, have a good time. But now I got to bring it down and talk about something a little depressing. It's a little weird. I don't think anyone's done an obit on the porch of Rocco's. And yet here we are. Former New York Giants head coach Jim Fassel passed away at the age of 71. His son, John Fassel, the special teams coordinator of the Cowboys, confirmed the death to the LA Times. He told the newspaper his father was taken to a Vegas hospital with chest pains. He died while being treated. I just want to say, as a native New Yorker, Fassel has a very important part of Giants history. And, Mark, I think you said recently that if you weren't a Browns fan, you'd be a Giants fan. You know, you had those the amazing Giants teams of the 1980s, once Bill Parcells took over. And that included two Super Bowl wins. And then in 91, after the second Super Bowl win, Parcells walked away, took a year off, went to the Patriots. Ray Hanley came in and was one of the biggest punching bags in the history of New York sports media. He was one and done. Dan Reeves took over after Hanley. He had some moments, but the team was still very much under the radar. Fassel then comes in. And they go on this very memorable run in 2000. His kind of legacy in New York is this quote he gave. And Rex Ryan got a lot of mileage, not coincidentally, also another New York coach, for a press conference in which he made a playoff guarantee that led to a deep postseason run. Here's what Fassel had to say.
I'll take full responsibility. I'm raising the stakes right now. This is a poker game. I'm shoving my chips to the middle of the table. I'm raising the ante. Anybody wants in, get in. Anybody wants out, get out. Okay? This team is going to the playoffs.
This team is going to the playoffs. The Giants went on a five-game winning streak. They win the NFC East. They rip through the NFC, get to the Super Bowl. They get wiped, Greg, by the Ravens. But Fossil hung around for a few more years after that. Had a nice run with New York Giants. Passes away at the age of 71. Very sad. Rest in peace.
It's such a memorable press conference moment because he got booed off the field right before that. They had just lost two straight games, and he was like the enemy of the town. So to make that speech in that moment and then to not lose a game again until the Super Bowl is a moment you'll always be remembered for. He's had an amazing career. I mean, he was John Elway's coach in Denver, and Elway said he would never have been the same player if it wasn't for John Fossil, and was such a likable guy. Jim
Fossil. And also, like, the New York media is so different. I would put Philly's media in there too, but that part of the country, the Giants lost those two games to the Rams and the Lions and fell to 7-4. You're not falling off the earth at that point.
Right.
And he was being savage. I think he was a bit of an easy target because he wasn't a Bill Parcells type personality.
Parcells cast such a long shadow.
Absolutely.
In New York Giants
football, the Ray Hanley basically was just put out there to get destroyed. But Fassel, I mean, he won Coach of the Year in 97, and they had a couple down years too. But that 2000 year, I thought, like you said, was his high point. And something about that day, we grew up with WFAN. I'll never forget that I was running errands and driving around listening to Mike and the Mad Dog right after that kind of press conference blew up. And it was a peak moment on WFAN because it was so counterculture to how Fossil behaved that Mike and the Mad Dog were doing the best they could with it. But I ran errands for another 2 hours just driving around listening to this because it was one of those moments in Giants history that was memorable. And he was really a wonderful coach for them. And gets kind of forgotten, I think,
another head coaching job.
Right.
His son, of course, Bones Fossil, is with the Cowboys now as their special teams coordinator. He was with the Rams before that. He's not with the minicamp, Cowboys minicamp this week because of his father's death. But he's a really good coach and a guy on the rise, too. So
I think it's interesting, too, that like he led the Giants to playoffs in his first season as a head coach, in three of his seven seasons as a head coach. And if you go back 6 years prior to him getting to New York, they had only made the playoffs one time. So
they were like the Giants now.
Right, exactly. So he led the Giants to double-digit wins three different seasons, and the only coaches to do a better job with the Giants were Tom Coughlin and Bill Parcells.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he is one of the greats there. He also drafted Tiki Barber, who I hated. Like, he was there for that. So.
And he kind of fixed Tiki Barber, who had a horrendous fumbling problem, and he was credited with like helping him fix his. Anyway, Jim Fossil, rest in peace. It is a little bit of a mortality reminder when these late 90s, 2000s guys pass away because we were all very young, and they seem to be so full of life. So very sad, and our hearts go out to the Fossil family. That's what's happening in the we got a little odds and ends before we
we do. Yep.
Connie.
So shall we, are we gonna do it? Are we gonna break out the song?
Hit it,
Connie.
Go. Okay. All right, here we go. Odds and ends, odds and ends. Hey everybody, tell your friends because it's odds and ends. And now I just have to like obligatory
Connie,
and get it right. So,
no, you did it.
I mean, without the backing music track, in a live venue with other music pumping behind you, and you haven't done it in 18 months probably. Mm-hmm. My goodness.
Just clicked into it.
Dusted it off.
You're more of a pro than when you first started.
I think the
gap
Why do you
got to
give it that negative? The negative
that's
tilt.
That's not negative. I'm just saying. The gap between like on-screen Colleen and off-screen it's getting smaller and smaller.
And
she's now just turning into a TV monster, and she can just click right in.
All right, yeah.
Am I supposed to believe?
Hello.
So, Colleen, you've never sang that out loud or to yourself in the 18 months since you last sang it on the show? That would concern me.
No.
It's never come to mind.
I don't. Maybe it will, though. Maybe I will start doing
this
that.
This is an absurd episode of our podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying it.
This is if we did this as episode 5, we wouldn't get a 6th, but we've done like 1,300, so it's fine.
If you're still listening right now, I just want to say thank you for being
a true fan.
Truly.
All right, what do we got in odds and ends,
Okay,
Connie?
Not a ton. Really just wanted to sing the song. First one here, Dak Prescott says that dancing during Cinco de Mayo convinced him his ankle was ready for the season.
That's stupid.
So he buried the injury, he said. So some people bury footballs, other people bury injuries, and yeah, that's Dak Prescott. So that's one thing.
I've added my analysis. You got anything, Mark?
No, I think it's, you know, I don't have a lot to add to
if
that.
If I was, like, going to power rank how I think quarterbacks would be at dancing, Dak would be low.
I feel like he's
okay.
Relatively low.
Yeah, he's got rhythm. What are you talking
about? I've actually
seen
Dak at Super Bowl parties, and Dak gets loose.
Okay,
has
this
fun,
is just my
whoa, is that a humble
take?
Brag?
I was at a certain party that I won't. Dak's fine.
Dak's okay.
He moves pretty well.
Cool. Okay.
Maybe with a little lubrication it helps, but
Greg's like Teddy Bridgewater's the best dancer.
Oh, yeah, he is a great dancer, yeah.
What else we got?
Other than that, Tua is holding a luau, and it says, like, luau with Tua, and I think they were trying to do some type of, like,
where's the luau?
Rhyme
with
Miami? It. Tuscaloosa. He's going back for his foundation, so he's going to raise some money. I was originally thinking about talking about Tua in our fluid situation conversation because, like, you know, some people have two dads, some people have two moms, some people have two offensive coordinators, so he's kind of in a fluid situation. But I'm not going to do that one.
Professional.
So just, yep,
some people just met their dad.
Some people just met their dad. Yeah. So, anyway.
Ed Wolf in the house.
Hey.
Wait.
Okay.
I'm going to ask your dad about his alien sighting. Is that okay?
Yeah, he would love to talk about it. Are you kidding me?
Don't forget to remind me. All right.
Okay.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
That's it?
Anything else.
There was one odd, one end.
I ran out of time. My dad was hanging out yesterday.
So it's not odds and ends. It's odd and end.
It's an odd and an end, and that's it.
That's what's happening in the news. All right. Now let's get to it. Lakeisha, how you doing, by the way? I waited until she bit the food.
Yeah, way to go.
I want to put her in a tough spot. She's good. All right. Fluid situations in the summer of love. This is the summer of love. And I really hope I'm going to try. Now, obviously, as a 41-year-old father of two, married for 9 years, it's a wrap. Like, there's no
wrap
true.
On what?
It's a wrap. It's like I don't get
love
to truly have, like, a fun, like, free-spirited summer.
No, like,
I have responsibilities.
At all, but I understand where you're coming from.
I'm going on planes to visit family, I'm paying a mortgage, I got kids that need to go to here and that. It's all relative. Now, Connie, you and Gonzo, for example, you got dogs.
We got dogs.
But you can have a nice summer of love.
We're going to go to Mexico City, I think.
There you go. You're
up.
Doing that. That's
doing
summer
that.
Of love.
Yeah.
And then there's Ricky Hollywood. Ricky, what you got cooking this summer?
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Getting excited for this June. I really don't.
Ricky caught off guard by the question.
Wait a second, Ricky. You're saying after we've all been sequestered for 16 months,
yeah,
and now things are finally getting, and the weather's amazing here in Southern California, you and your beautiful woman, Jet, you don't
She's
have anything
looker.
Planned?
No, we do. I'm going to a bachelorette party tonight, actually, hopping the red eye. Next weekend,
that.
I'm out of town. It's actually a lesbian bachelorette, so that should be fun.
All right. Whoa.
It's actually my ex-girlfriend's bachelorette.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. We must
Okay, everything. We're canning everything else that we're going to talk about on the show.
Yes.
Okay. It's just the reset. It is the Pride episode of the Around the NFL podcast. Erica is getting on a red-eye flight.
Tonight.
Going cross-country back to her hometown. Or hometown adjacent, Boston, Mass, for a bachelorette party.
Of my ex-girlfriend.
The bachelorette is Ricky's ex. Are you going with Jet?
No, she wasn't invited.
No way.
Wait, where does Jet come down on this?
She's going to go to the wedding, but she's fine.
Well, how did things end with the ex?
I broke her heart, like, 5 years ago.
What? And she invited you to the bachelorette
Yeah, we're still
party?
Friends, same friend group. We love each other. We're very close, but...
Do you think you're more attractive than her fiance?
But she's going to try to make one final play for you this weekend.
Well, can I ask you a technical question about a lesbian bachelorette party?
The fiance won't be there.
Well, all right, but typically, like, a group of women in a bachelor party would go out and, like, let's go talk to, like, a bunch of, like, beefcakes or, like construction workers or, like, rugby guys. But in your case, would the group of women go be...
Again, that's Mark's trip to Las
well, no,
Vegas.
I mean, like, What would be the attack zone? Would you go speak to another group of women at a table having, like,
yes.
cocktails?
So we rented a big house in the Cape, and we have a clam bake. No pun intended. we're doing a clam bake. We're doing a Sex in the City theme tomorrow night. And then we all, my ex is like obsessed with Britney Spears. So we're all going to dress up as a Britney Spears era. So I did order a schoolgirl outfit that I will be in this weekend.
You did the original.
I will. Just like the themed cocktails, the you know, like the show. I love Sex and the City. We love Sex and the City.
All right. Anyone like kind of like slightly sad, shaved head, Britney?
Yeah, Sarah? Probably someone will be.
That's if you
sure.
want to be a little subversive. That's a good call, Greg. You do that.
Yeah, that would be Greg.
Exactly. Greg already has.
Well,
all right.
For well, since we're here
tonight on our group vacation.
Our group polyamorous exclusive relationship.
Very exclusive.
Since I have three beautiful women here at the table, I just want to know what Britney phase they would be, starting with Connie.
Oh, I would do the one with the boa constrictor.
Nice.
Oh, I'm a slave for you, Aaron.
Yeah, that's
hot.
It.
Nice.
I mean, she was tan. Quiche? She had her hair good.
It would be I'm a Slave or Me Against the Music.
Which one's
Ooh,
that?
Me Against the Music, the comeback
the
record.
Madonna. Oh, yeah, yeah, but yes. What outfit? She has the slacks on with the crop top and the bow tie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's hot.
That was hot.
I was gonna wear Jets flight attendant uniform from Toxic, but it's the wrong color, so I went for the schoolgirl outfit
in the video.
At other times, do you prance around wearing that outfit?
Yes, I do actually.
I'm just
These
asking
are important
the
questions.
I'm asking
These
the questions
are important
I want to ask. This is, you know, partly my show.
This is now Dan's favorite episode ever.
Anybody else have anything to share before we move on?
Nah.
All right.
I'm going to save it, not say.
All right. Where were we? Fluid summer.
Well, what would you be?
Oh, what would I be?
Oh, yeah.
I would be, you know what, I'd be red cat suit.
Red leather suit. Well, my best friend, Donnie, who plays professional football, is like 6'3", big lesbian. She got the skin tight leather suit and then sent a picture last night that it doesn't zip up.
Oh, no. What do you do in that spot?
She said she's still going to wear it.
That's a tough sitch. All right. Anyway, well, good luck with that. Don't drink too much. Be careful there.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to tell you, girls, you agree with me. This is an explosive situation, potentially.
We're going to have Jet with us at Dad's Summit.
Yeah, Jet's going to be with Colleen and you
just
guys this weekend.
Here.
Yeah, I'll be good. I'm not worried about it.
I'm not like saying like don't like make a mistake. I'm saying like don't get into a fight. Don't get baited into like.
Don't cheat.
No, not that. I know you won't do that. And she won't do that, probably.
What kind of fight is Ricky going to get into?
You got to admit.
Like, pronounced Britney Spears.
My heteronormative mind, I'm thinking, like, imagine having a bachelor party.
With all of you guys dressed as Britney
and
Spears.
And then one of the guys at your bachelor party
is your
dated
ex.
Your fiancé. Mm.
It happens. Yeah. I don't think you're not living in
He's
her
not going
world
to my bachelor
necessarily.
Party.
It happens, and bad does go down. So I think everyone's thought about this, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I think whatever you do, Jet is allowed to do at Colleen's house with said figures in the environment.
Yeah, her and John have been really clicking lately. I am a little worried.
All right, so I'll be at the Cape with you. Do you have an extra outfit?
He's got a boa constrictor coming out.
All right, fluid situations in the summer of love. Mark, get us going.
All right, well, we're going around once, I believe, right?
I don't know. Maybe once or twice.
We'll
okay,
see
well, then I'm going to start with a football-y one, but I have another concern. I can bring it up later. I want to look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers backfield because I think one of the most important signings of the offseason, but
backfield,
underrated.
Hey.
All right, Erica. Like, one of the most underrated, kind of the flew under the radar, is Gio Bernard to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Last year, the Buccaneers, with Battleship Fournette and the rest of the crew, had one of the worst receiving crews.
I'm still thinking
in the
about the bachelorette party.
I know. Listen, you're making me pivot it back to like super boring territories.
If you're going
to
pivot off the bachelorette party, you can't go like third string.
Gio Bernard in the box.
All right, do you want to hear my other thing?
Yes, give me the other thing.
This is honestly super annoying to me. Now, Carlos Dunlap, who I traveled to Italy and Germany with, lots of respect, okay?
So much respect.
I love him a lot. Yes. He is a hardworking guy, but he's one of this cast of defenders that on Instagram, he changed his number. and it does the thing where he's running around in Seahawks like green and blue. He's 46, and then suddenly it turns to him, this big burly pass rusher, turning to 8. And I know everyone's like, hey, it's cool. It's like, let them change their numbers. But you also have, like, Patrick Queen going from Ravens linebacker, big thick man, going from 48 to 6, okay? Matthew Judon.
Did you add big thick man because it's for the Pride show?
No, he's a large, wide man. Like, and this is my problem. Matthew Judon, 99 to 9. Jalen Smith, 54 to 9. Buda Baker, 32 to 3. I know it seems cute here before with the game start, but it is going to be, I think, to people that have watched the game for a very long time. The situation is fluid because
jarring.
Maybe it will be fine, but I do think to some people it's going to be very disturbing to watch like a pass rusher, number 3, coming in and attacking like quarterback number 3.
It's like watching college football. That annoys me. But they were
I don't 40, watch college football.
They were 46s like before. That's a terrible pass rush number, too.
That's so. Why it's to guys like me and you and Greg.
Right.
Although, Greg, I know you watch tape like during draft
to
time.
Cis
but, like,
white males.
It's like when you don't – Connie, do you watch college football?
No.
No.
I don't have time because I'm normally
no. You're very
you.
Busy.
But
I'm very busy.
But my point being, if you're not a big college football fan, a wide receiver that's number 2 like Julio Jones is now is it blows your mind. I don't follow sports at that level that closely. So when you see this like super duper star wide receiver, so it is fluid. Yes, very.
But
fluid.
The wide receivers I've become accustomed to, but when it's like a gigantic like super giant pass rushing guy. Attacking a quarterback with a lower number than the quarterback, like I. Like,
but what's your bigger point? Like
it's an under the radar.
Well,
story
I don't know if there's a point attached to it other than the fact that, like, visually,
it's like
everyone. No one's saying it matters, but I think you're going to get a bunch of people on Twitter when games start complaining about it. I do. I think it's going to be a
you're
talking
be
point.
One of those. You are complaining right now.
I'm
about
complaining
it.
Now. Yeah. I'm getting ahead of the game on the complaints.
That's good.
All right.
No,
it's under the radar. I like that.
Greg, how about a fluid situation in the summer of love?
I don't know. I don't know if these guys are in love with their situations right now. But Chandler Jones and Danielle Hunter are both in fluid situations that have slipped under the radar.
Very fluid.
Danielle Hunter has won a new contract since before the pandemic. That kind of like slipped out of mind because then he had a neck injury, but he's still not showing up. They don't know if he's ever going to show up. I don't know how he's going to get more money out of them when he just missed an entire year with a neck injury. But Chandler Jones is even more fluid. He surprised everyone. No one is even knowing what the reporting is going to be. I don't know why we keep saying fluid, and then Erica laughs at me.
This is now the Chandler Jones is it's such a fluid situation.
Yeah,
tell me why.
I don't know. It's basically just football topics we want to talk about that that we don't know what's going to happen.
I honestly wonder how much the J.J. Watt hullabaloo. Like led to
that's
Chandler
it.
Jones being unhappy.
I think that's it. And I asked around, and that suspicion was confirmed. When a player
texted rap
as good
sheet.
As Chandler Jones, and to be clear, he's you know on balance probably been a little better than J.J. Watt over the last few years. Is on a team, and then you sign a new player who is a couple years older, and he's making more money than you. That gets on your radar big time. And Chandler Jones hasn't shown up. And if you remember how he left. New England, it was a very strange, sudden sort of, Chandler Jones is gone. He had some weird off.
Well,
the
there
field.
Was also an event that it could
right.
have
was
to
a
an exciting
like a bath
event.
Salt
yeah,
type
he,
event.
Yeah, he showed up to a police station asking for help
synthetic
and was under
drugs.
The influence of drugs. So that was strange. But there's been some
that
whispers
will move your
here.
Career along.
That there's been some whispers. He's been a great player there. I do have doubts whether he's going to be on the Cardinals in 2021. Would not shock me if he gets traded in August.
Very good. Connie.
Can we do every podcast at a bar? I'm just, like, wondering. Because I'll be there. All right.
I don't know if our audience will be, but, like, we'll be here.
That's true. Not sure we're gaining followers.
Can't wait to read the subreddit.
Okay. Damian Williams, his future is a very fluid situation. obviously, he all right. So think about this, though. He
how many other backup running backs can we get? Into
you got stuck segment? In the same world I did. These guys are tough. Just poor John.
He won the Super Bowl with Kansas City, scored 2 touchdowns in that game. Then he opted out last year because of COVID. He's 29 years old, and now all of a sudden he's a Chicago Bear. So think about what he had to go through last year. He had to sit at home and watch the games and watch his replacement basically take his job, a young new guy on the scene who was doing really great on his team. So I don't fault the Chiefs for moving on from him with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but I can't even imagine the mental games that Damian Williams played with himself while watching the actual games. He told the Sun-Times watching at home really made him realize that he didn't want to watch anything, any other games at home anymore, and he just like wants to play basically until the wheels fall off. So he signed this one-year deal with Chicago, which is like a really messy situation in and of itself, that the Bears team in general, that offense for sure. The only thing that kind of swings me the other way is Matt Nagy obviously knows him, there we go, from his days as offensive coordinator in Kansas City. So it's a familiar system for him with familiar plays, and obviously he's familiar with the coach. So I'm going to be watching this in preseason. I'm really interested to see how they use him with Dave Montgomery there, the lead rusher from last year. Tyreek Cohen, we hardly saw him at all last year because of the ACL in week three. So I feel like this is something to watch for sure because there's some fluid stuff happening.
I mean, he almost won Super Bowl MVP, and then he sits out the year.
Fluid everywhere.
It's a big
so much so many fluids.
Big change.
Stop talking about my bachelorette party.
You got to be careful at that party. We're going to circle back to that one. All right. I want to talk about Devontae Booker. He's very – no, just kidding.
Wait, whoa.
Now, I want to talk about – this one's not – it's not exciting, but it is notable.
Better I'll
talk
be.
Some injury stuff. Like, just – it's fluid. I'm going to name some guys that have a huge role and a huge responsibility toward making their team successful. And they need their rehab to go in the right direction right now. I'll start with Calvin Ridley. You know what I hate? I hate foot surgeries. Oof. Hate them, especially for a skill player.
Have you ever had one?
I'm not a skill player, and I've never had foot surgery. I'm as far as you can get from this conversation. I'm analyzing the situation from a distance. What's in this?
That Tito's is definitely hitting right now.
I love this. This is my favorite show ever.
So Calvin Ridley had what was explained as a minor foot procedure, and he'll be fine for training camp. I hope so. But you just traded away Julio Jones. And I know everyone thinks Kyle Pitts is going to hit the ground running and be the greatest tight end of all time. And maybe he will be. But we might be going, Greg, from a situation where you were all hopped up, for instance, about having this big three together with Matt Ryan, the former MVP quarterback. Now Julio's gone. And you got Pitts learning the playbook in the pro game. And now you have the start and the new number one coming off foot surgery. Don't like it. Speaking of foot surgery, I don't like Quinnen Williams, my team's number one defensive player, coming off foot surgery. That went under the radar a little bit about a month ago. It's like, oh, yeah, he just had foot surgery. He'll be back.
Everything's minor in the offseason.
I don't like that stuff because foot injuries, if you follow the sport, you know they might come back, but they can re-aggravate them easily. More injury stuff. Saquon Barkley. Usually this time of year, you hear, oh, yeah, not only do I feel like I felt before the injury, I'm better.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the great tropes of the offseason. No. Saquon, it's like we're taking it one day at a time. Our goal is to get him back, and he'll be ready to go week one. I'm not ringing any alarm bells. I'm just saying it's the way it's being put out by the team is not
that. And by Barkley. He sounded pretty cautious this week.
Like there's a lot of work to do still on that ACL rehab for an injury that happened early last year. Keep an eye on that. Kyle Long. Tons of ink, digital ink spilled after the Super Bowl when he came out of retirement, signed with the Chiefs. They're like, the way we, and I'm saying we, is the football cognoscenti. The way we operated on this is like, oh, yeah, Kyle Long's back, and he's the star of 2014. He's their new guard there, right guard. He's like, no. We don't know what it is. So now that's a camp battle, and he might be getting a surgery. He might be out of the picture entirely. I'll leave it there. There's more players to go through, but keep an eye. It's a very fluid situation with these injuries.
Mm. Nice work.
So fluid.
Anybody else have a fluid injury thing that maybe I missed? Solomon
Amari
Thomas.
Cooper this week.
My back's
Bosa.
Been bothering me.
Amari Cooper this week. Ian Rapoport. This is what I'm getting at with the whole like minor injury. He got hurt 2 weeks ago, and he might not be ready for training camp. And all the comments are like, oh, it's no big deal. That's 2.5 months in between when you just got hurt and being ready for training. If that happened during the season, you just missed the whole season, that's not minor. The coaches lie about off-season injuries more than they lie about anything else, I would say.
Cam Newton, hand injury. And I'm not, again, I'm not ringing alarm bells. I'm just saying he hurt his hand. They said it's not serious, but he is also not practicing right now. All right, let's go quick one more time around. Mark.
All right.
Or did you burn both? Because you had the Frank Gore one earlier.
No, that did not count because I was swept off the deck with that. I'm not. No, Gio Bernard is going to do great. That's the end of that one. This got on my radar. New Texans coach David Culley will not hold mandatory minicamp next week, saying we've accomplished what we want to accomplish. Hold on. So fluid. First of all, give me a break here. Like, the Texans are facing one of the biggest PR crises of any team in sports.
We do this steak every year.
No. But of any team that, like, has, number one, you have 50-plus new players. We're good. We're a team totally that is fluid and flux as any team in the NFL. How about you get back together and do some professional work together? I don't like the idea that either you even go to the press with this saying, hey, you know what, we've wrapped it up, we're fine. So when you're 1-8, we can look back and say, hey, you did everything you possibly could. I just think you're a new coach. Mm. I like him a lot. Seems like a nice guy. Everyone likes him. But, like, you have got to have a different approach than, you know, let's just take an extra week off because we're the Houston Texans. We're sky high. Things are fine. There are no issues inside the building.
No issues.
We'll see you in August.
Listen,
or late July.
He is the new version of who's Handsome Hank's boy that was the coach of the 49ers.
Joe Philbin.
No, 49ers coach.
Oh, Niners.
Tom Sula.
Jim Tom Sula, he's rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. He's waited his whole life. He's a 64-year-old man, I believe. Finally gets a big chair, and he's dealt this hand. All right, listen, but it's not just
people
about
didn't get
money.
To leave the Titanic. You have to stick it out. You have to stay.
I know, but it's like I think he took the job. He took the gig knowing it was a Titanic challenge in front of him. I just kind of feel bad for the dude.
I do too, but I would say if you're Texans fans, you're wondering, like, you're sending me, like, a bunch of emails about dropping, like, $1,400 on season tickets or twice that. Like, how about, like, I at least have an organization that says, our talent base is way down here. We're going to work harder than anyone else. We've got a ton of new people. We've got two new systems. We're going to grind as hard
this
as anyone.
Very Dan Campbell.
Like, we're good. We're out. See you in July. Have a nice time. We're going to go to the Bahamas. Please.
It's a sign these mini camps don't amount to too much. They are not the only team that's skipping mini camp, by the way. Many teams are.
Yeah, the Eagles are, and I don't understand
that at
all. The Rams shortened
their thing. Because
Kyle
it
Shanahan,
help them that much. It's just like
Mark Sessler, yeah, boy. He did the same thing.
Yeah, but Shanahan, no one's sitting around wondering if the 49ers have organizational direction. I wouldn't bring that up about them. Like, if you're essentially working from behind with the talent of, like, a high-level college team, you've
got
to do more.
I'm just going to throw out this item of news this week that was just a reminder that Deshaun Watson someday could play football again. We don't know if that's going to be this year, but Kareem Jackson, his old teammate in Houston, pointing out that Watson wants to play in Denver, just got me thinking about 2022, that the Broncos, who have a Super Bowl roster, like, they might have their option or be going for either one of these guys in 2022 or maybe, like, later this year, depending on what the NFL wants to do about Watson.
I've been very hard. I think you nailed it, Greg. I've been very hard on John Elway, as anyone listening to this podcast knows. But the light bulb did go off for me this morning when I saw that. And I was like, I wonder if, like, yes, of course Teddy Bridgewater is not the future. Of course Drew Lock stinks. But maybe this is a chess situation, and they're playing a different game, and they're just biding their time to make that play.
It's probably next year, not week 7, but the NFL is going to decide on that before any teams do.
Connie?
Mine's quick. It's the Zach Ertz situation in Philly. Like,
still there.
It's still –
Yeah, he's still there.
Very fluid. And – for me, I just don't understand, as you just mentioned, Mark, or whoever did, about the fact that there's a ton of teams in the league that canceled their mandatory mini camps, and the Eagles are one of them, and I don't understand why they did that, because you have Nick Sirianni, you have a new coaching staff, you have...
Oh, you trust Nick Sirianni. He'll be fine, right?
This feels like a Ted Lasso situation, and I'm not happy about it. And
I
don't know what to do, because you have the whole uncertainty with, like, Jalen Hurts, and then obviously you don't know what's going to happen with Ertz here, and there's the whispers about Buffalo maybe, like, moving around some cap space and maybe bringing someone in instead of that. They have Dawson Knox. I don't know, but the future of Zach Ertz is in question, and it feels like maybe we would have gotten a little bit of clarity if they had a mandatory minicamp and if Ertz would have showed up for that, but now we have no idea until training camp. And check out all of our Instagram stories because we're doing BTS, guys, right now.
And I love that you bring up Zach Ertz because you're a Philly girl. That Super Bowl 52. Will live with you for the rest of your life.
It will.
I remember coming upon you up on the field at the 30-yard line. You were crying.
Yeah,
tears
it was
of
overwhelming.
Joy. What a moment. And where we were seated in our auxiliary press box, Zach Ertz coming right towards us with that go-ahead touchdown. Greg watching it, just dying inside. Literally, the Patriots, just the whole empire crumbling in front of Greg. I'll never forget it.
Yeah, the year before my favorite Super Bowl victory by the Patriots. Oh, yeah.
All right. Anyway, so Zach Ertz, he's a very important figure to Eagles fans. I get it. And this idea that he's – is he going or is he staying?
And it's just like, I guess, I don't know if maybe
they – seems like he's gone, but why is he still there?
It might be time. They let him spread his wings and fly.
I think they're waiting for him to be cut because they don't want to trade anything for
him. I do need to go pick up my daughter. We had some technical issues.
Yeah. And you want to ask my dad about UFOs, right?
Okay. All right. Let me just – let's close this seg. We'll say goodbye, and then we'll bring in – Ed Wolf after
so no
Greg
things
signs
that
off.
Make us gay. We're not doing that segment.
We will. Okay. But Greg has to jump out. Dawson Knox, by the way, you mentioned tight ends.
Yes.
You mentioned the Bills. My all-time favorite new trope alert. I hope it lasts for a million years. Dawson Knox is working with a, quote, vision specialist to improve his hand-eye coordination. I hope this – I mean, this is insane to me. Like, hand-eye coordination. That's it. Like, that's how you got here in the first place. If you don't have enough hand-eye coordination now and you're in the NFL,
you're
no specialist is going to help you. And I just hope every year we learn about more people visiting vision specialists. And by the way, if this guy that Dawson Knox goes to, if he has an all-pro season for the Bills this year, this guy is going to be a billionaire.
Oh, he'll be the new David Andrews, the surgeon. He'll just
because I was trying to think of his name.
There's like thousands of NFL players, if I just had better hand-eye coordination. Well, maybe there's a specialist out there, a vision specialist that can do it.
Look at Jameis Winston.
I don't know what's
LASIK.
Fluid about that. I just wanted to talk about it. All right, Greg, you need to go pick up your daughter.
I guess I'm going to miss the last segment.
You are.
But you guys can hand.
Do you have one thing that you want to drop that makes you
gay? Do you have anything else you want to say about on Pride, our special Pride episode?
I just want to say I love this town. I love Erica. I love Pride Month. And
what a politician.
How about for things that make me gay, the Copenhagen
the
Trilogy by Tove Ditlevsen, my favorite thing I've read all year. It's like three really short memoirs, packs a big punch, immersive. Love it. All right.
Greg Rosenthal.
Thank you.
Great
Don't
book
take
recommendation.
The mic with you.
Close things out.
Bye, buddy.
All right. Here we are. Here we are again in the heart of West Hollywood, Rocco's. What a moment that was when Greg shared that book recommendation. Was that what it was? I couldn't really hear him. All right, now here we are with the legend himself, Ed Wolf.
I'm a legend?
Of course you
and
are.
At this table, you are.
Okay, all right.
All right, so
that
we got Colleen, we got Ed. I never thought I'd be doing a podcast with two wolves, and here we are.
How about
Very
it?
Very excited. Yeah. Ed, so you had a long career working at, you were in the Air Force, correct?
That's correct.
How long were you in the Air Force for?
4 years.
4 years.
Yeah, 3 years, 8 months, and 27 days.
And how proud are you of your daughter that she has kind of went into that world of air travel?
I am extremely proud of that. And she knows everything that goes on because she hears my stories.
My dad taught me how to fly. I don't have my license, but I went to ground school. I graduated from ground school. I was too afraid to solo, so I never got my license.
That is awesome. Is it something that makes you nervous as a dad, your daughter in the air? I feel like it would freak me out. But
not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
You trust her. You know, she knows her stuff.
The controllers are good. The controllers are excellent.
Very good. All right. Yeah. Now to dig in, because you're sitting next to Mark Sessler, who's a certified alien freak. This guy, he says, it's not just that. Mark, correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, no, we'll get into this, but the first time that I met Ed Wolf, this was probably eight years ago when you guys were at the Whaler, and I was with Wes, actually, and we happened to be there in separate parties, and we saw you, and it's the first time we ever hung out in person, and you, at the end of the night, shared a story, and we were, you know, we had a few drinks in us. You shared a story about something that happened to you in the Air Force, Dan, and it affected me quite a bit.
Yes.
I thought about it since.
So you were watching the skies.
Take us through it. All right. So I was actually at I worked at an ICBM site. And,
what is that?
It was in
intercontinental
ballistic missile site. And I was in South Dakota. And in the horizon, I saw a light, whatever you want to call it, a light. And it did not move in normal progression as a star, an airplane, and everything. It was very fast. It went up, down, over, left, right, all kinds of different trajectories, is the best I can say. It was not normal.
And so I've moving in a way in that terrestrial aircraft doesn't move technologically.
Correct.
And it wasn't on the radar.
And no.
How about this? In a way that a weather balloon does not move.
No. Totally abnormal. Let me put it that way.
And you were with someone else, right?
What?
You were with someone else when you saw it?
I was with a bunch of people, yeah. They all saw it, too. And we had an air policeman who was with me, and he said, I didn't see anything, because if I told him I saw it, I'm going to Vietnam tomorrow.
Now, I'm sure you followed this very closely, Ed, that there was a 60 Minutes expose on this, and there's been a lot of stuff in the media that the government, they've unlocked these documents, and they're saying, listen, we have these moments like you're explaining. These look like UFOs. Do you know what they call them now? There's a different term. But we don't know what these are. We can't explain what these are. We also can't say, we're not saying it's aliens, but we can't rule it out either. Ed, put it on the record. Military man. Do you think what you saw was an alien?
Absolutely.
Didn't
no question about it.
Didn't skip a beat. He knows it was an alien.
I do. Well,
it wasn't Russian spies. It wasn't.
Let me put it this way. It was an UFO, unidentified flying object, but it was not normal. It was totally abnormal in the laws of physics that we know. It could have been other things.
Can I ask you a follow-up? So there is. It must be good for you to see that it's becoming, I mean, almost underwhelmingly so, normalized now. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, now there's UFOs. We all get it. Like, there's not a freak-out aspect to it yet. But there is another train of thought that suggests that a large number of these are not coming from somewhere far away down to our Earth, but coming from deep underground bases under, like, Antarctica, and they're coming up through the sea. There's a lot of observation where they're coming up through the water.
I love this.
Do you think that there's something potentially to that where there are parts of our Earth or inner Earth that we obviously don't know anything about? The sea is 5% discovered. Is there something other than just coming from another planet? Or do you think there's something to any of that?
It could be. It totally could be. From the ocean? I have no idea. But, you know, these things hover over the horizon and then they dip below the sea base and you don't see them anymore. So definitely could be.
Our friend Kristen
I totally believe there are UFOs over the ocean.
She saw one as well, Kristen.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Baker Mayfield saw a UFO. Everyone's like, oh, it's Baker Mayfield. Now it's like, excuse me. Just
well, that
one
I'm a little suspect about.
No, it's not a suspect at all.
All right, Ed, before we say goodbye, Nick Sirianni, how you feel about it?
Say that again.
Nick Sirianni, how you feel about it?
The head coach of the Eagles. How do you feel about him?
Excellent. Excellent. I'm ready.
You have total faith in the new leadership.
Yes.
All right. What about the Carson Wentz trade? Were you upset when he was traded
to
the Colts?
No, not at all. Not at all. Was not upset at that at all.
No loyalty to Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, I thought.
Ann Wolf has some hotter takes.
Ann has hotter takes than Ed.
That's a different episode.
North Dakota, South Dakota, one of the Dakotas.
All right. All right, Ed, we're about to finish a show with a segment we call Things That We're Gay For. So if you want to hop off, that's totally understandable.
I don't care.
Stick around.
All right.
One bit.
Okay.
All right. We'll start with Mark Sessler. What are you gay for right now?
Well, I will just say, because I haven't had a chance during this episode, that, like, I do think it's super cool that we're here because of Erica. We would never be otherwise. And, I mean, we've known Erica for 5 years now or so. And it was not easy for you, I think, when you came to the NFL to share that with anyone. And I kind of, like, becoming your friend and, like, tracking your Instagram, I was like, I kind of think that this may be the case with Erica, but I don't have, like, hardcore proof. But you shared it with a close circle of friends early on. But even our workplace was not the easiest place for that. And I'm sure it is now. It's gotten better. But it's cool just to see that you own it. You are who you are. And, like, having that one day trounced around these streets with you, Erica is not only, like, she's not, like, the top 50 most popular person up here at night. She's in, like, the top. She's like a Tom Brady of popularity among other lesbianic women. So,
are you the gay goat?
Yeah, I think so.
You're doing great.
I'm
very proud of you.
The straights love her, too.
That's very nice, Mark. Very well said, Mr. Sessler. How about you, Connie?
You guys make me gay. I love hanging out with you guys, and it makes me so happy whenever I can come on the pod and especially see you guys in person. I mean, it's more just hanging out with you guys and seeing you and sharing food and sharing time and sharing laughs, and it's less about the football for me, and you guys just make me so happy whenever we can make time for each other, so this is really nice.
That's awesome. I feel the same way, Colleen, and I was going to share a similar thought to Mark. I just think it's so great. Like, I grew up, we talked about the Stonewall riots that occurred in 1969 that kind of, like, kicked off this revolution that's helped take us to where things are now, and hopefully continue to go forward in a positive direction. But, like, when I was growing up, like, you know, I was an 80s kid, early 90s kid. It's amazing, especially being in the suburbs, that there was just no connection to things like gay culture and things of that nature. So I just think it's...
There's
literally a helicopter landing.
Landing right next to us.
Behind us. Oh, it's the West Hollywood Sheriff's Station.
Wolf. They might be.
They're sending Ed Wolf to Vietnam.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Anyway, Ricky, let me give Ricky a hug.
I love you.
We all love you. This is so nice. And do you want to put a cap on it? What are you gay for?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that we're even...
Let's wait for the helicopter. Yeah.
And Ricky's also wearing a NASA shirt right now. Yeah. So it's like everything really connects. There we go.
So the fact that we're even doing this episode makes me want to, I feel teary right now. It's like, I am so supported by you guys, and we are such an incredible family when my family is so far away, and there isn't anything that I wouldn't do for you guys, and it's clear that you guys feel the same way because we're all here, and I love you guys very much.
Oh, Ricky. When Ricky gets emotional, it makes me get emotional, and I love her so much. You.
All right, let's bring this thing in for a landing.
Oh, I like that idea.
Wait, can you clear us for landing? How you would clear an
clear
airplane?
Clear us, Ed. We'll
clear them for landing, okay.
All right, so give
you
me a...
clear for landing. So, I want to say that I have a bunch of gay friends that I have, and they're great.
Oh, that's
I love
so
them. I love them to death. Yeah. They're like some of my best friends are.
Aww. Perfect landing.
All right.
Ed Wolf brought it in for the landing.
Okay.
All right. By the way, I'm going to sign off now, Ed.
Okay.
And then if you can give your air traffic control sign off for the whole show.
Some lingo.
Pretend
can I throw it to you? Give us some lingo,
like,
when you're bringing in an aircraft for a landing, okay?
Okay.
When I point to you, okay?
Kind of Tom Cruise, all right. Top Gun type scenario.
So anyway, this is a great experience to be back together. And we're going to have some fun times, more private times all together to celebrate the great Chris Wessling. And I'm so excited for that. And just looking at Lakeisha fills our hearts with joy. So this is just such a nice day. I love everybody. Love you guys. Love West Hollywood. Love Gay Rocco's. I love everything. All right. Now, we'll be back. We're going dark. We got one more show next week, right, Mark? And then we're going to go dark
I'll
for a little while.
I'll decide that this weekend and let you know.
All right. You decide that. We'll be back early next week, and then we'll give you an update on what we're going to go dark for a little bit. But that's it.
Thank you to everybody for listening. And if you made it this far into the episode, you are a true fan. All right, Ed Wolf, take us home. Bring us in for a landing.
So when a plane lands, you say, cleared to land. After it lands, you say, turn left next intersection and contact ground control on 217. Have a nice day.
Heed the call. Till next week.
Amazing.